In a journey through time, we're reminded that our Old Testament reading of this morning was written, the best we could track it down, literally thousands of years ago. It was written in the verbiage in the Hebrew and Aramaic languages of those days. I have memories that I would rather forget, and that is for 7 years I had to struggle with the Hebrew language. And we had oral examinations in those days where you sat across from the professor in oral, and then he would give you a Hebrew Bible. You were not allowed to use your own because they caught some of our students writing little pencil notes. And then he would point and say, "Translate," and look at you sternly. Then we could understand a little bit better, because when you read it in original tongue, you do understand it better. And then our task was always to later interpret it from the pulpit, explain it. And it wasn't always very difficult with all the different Bible translations. And I must tell you that it's such a pleasure to read the newest translation, because it's written in the language of our time, how we would express it. The meaning remains exactly the same, but that is the privilege that we have, and there is talk here about God's Spirit. And then also in the New Testament, in the Koine Greek, where it was translated, we had the same situation. And endless the memories of fear in those days, because you simply had to pass. You could not afford to stay in university. But eventually, we have the Word speaking to us in our own language. Psalm 104. What a wildly wonderful world, God. You made it all. With wisdom at your side, made earth overflow with your wonderful creations. Oh, look, the deep wide sea, brimming with fish past counting, sardines and sharks and salmon. Ships plow those waters, and Leviathan, your pet dragon, romps in them. All the creatures look expectantly to you to give them their meals on time. You come and they gather around. You open your hand and they eat from it. If you turn your back, they die in a minute. Take back your spirit and they die. Revert to original mud. Send out your spirit and they spring to life. The whole countryside in bloom and blossom. The glory of God, let it last forever. Let God enjoy His creation. He takes one look at earth and triggers an earthquake, points a finger at the mountains, and volcanoes erupt. Oh, let me sing to God all my life long. Sing hymns to my God as long as I live. Oh, let my song please Him. I'm so pleased to be singing to God. Can you hear the voice of the one who wrote this psalm? Singing with the understanding of his time, with the language of his time. Expressing the greatness of God. And then in the New Testament, Acts 2 verse 14. That's when Peter stood up, and backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. And when the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red, before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous. And whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved. The reading of Scripture takes us into, I believe, into the mind of God. May it be that we can sense and experience God's presence, not only in church, but in all our lives. My friends, it was tornado and hurricane time, and a certain citrus farmer in Florida was holding on in this terrible windstorm onto a tree, not to be blown away by a 100 mile per hour wind that was shaking everything around him. He looked up and could not believe his eyes. He was floating down to earth. He saw someone coming down in a parachute. And he hollered above the wind, "Are you crazy to parachute jump in this weather?" "What do you mean?" yelled the man. "I'm not coming down like this in a parachute. I went up in my tent." Now, friends, this must be about how the followers of Jesus felt on that first day of Pentecost. They did not come down in a parachute. They really went up in a tent. You know, the question shouldn't be on a day like today, "Do you have the Holy Spirit?" It's wrong. The question should go like this: does the Holy Spirit have you? You see, a bird does not sing because it has an answer. It sings because it has a song. A music instrument does not produce music by itself. It does so only when it has the skill of a talented musician to produce great music. If you ever listen to a huge pipe organ played by a master organist in a great cathedral or church, couldn't help it, but when I was thinking about this beforehand, I made a quick list for myself of the churches that I had the privilege to serve that had a pipe organ. And oh, how well I remember, Grace, maybe you can remember in Holland some of the smaller pipe organs that they had to pump beforehand. And Ouerkerk on the Amstel, that's where I went to preach. And I remember so well arriving there minutes before the time. You heard the pumping sounds, getting the old organ ready to blare out the glory of God once when the service has started. Remember in our huge church in central Pretoria in South Africa, 9,000 members and the beautiful, magnificent pipe organ with a professor in music as organist. And how well I remember when you arrive on Sunday mornings, when you walk up towards the church, you could hear the wonderful sounds coming, and something in you would say and jump up and say, "Oh, I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" That's what music does to our hearts sometimes. Now, pipe organs produce sound only when the wind passes through the pipes. And the art of the organist is to control the flow of wind in such a way as to produce the magnificent, soul-enhancing sounds. And then the Bible refers to God's Spirit many different ways. But where we read this morning, it refers to God's Spirit as a mighty wind. What happened on that first day of Pentecost? Well, I believe that it is helpful to think of the earliest followers of Jesus Christ in terms of such a magnificent pipe organ. You see, before that day, God spoke to them through the life and through the teachings of Jesus Christ. And they came to understand what God wanted them to do. And Jesus urged them on, and He sent them, and He inspired them, and He wanted them, as He did, to do mighty deeds for the kingdom of God, and to speak about God's great deeds everywhere, not only to their own, but eventually to all nations and all tribes across the world. You see, they were like organ pipes. They were able to play to God's glory in messages of faith, hope, and change. But something horrible happened. After the earthly life of Jesus, with fresh memories of the horrific crucifixion, they just kept quiet and they stayed out of the way. They were nervous, they were scared, but once with Jesus crucified, they never knew what could happen to them. And any moment, Roman soldiers could have been knocking on the doors or breaking doors down and dragging them over the hobblestones in the streets to undergo punishment like Jesus did. Well, these people already knew that Jesus was alive, but the fact is He was no longer with them in person. And that must have been very confusing and very terrifying. They could consult with Jesus. Now it was over and darkness fell. And some of them thought, well, I need to go back to where I was before Jesus came. It seemed as if the message and the sacrifice of the Master only existed in their memories now. So, after a few days of not even contacting one another, during the silence and relative safety of the nights, they tracked each other down, slowly, cautiously. They started meeting behind closed doors to pray and to console one another. The followers of Jesus were hushed. They were quiet. They were subdued. They were very scared. Actually, historically speaking, the early Christian movement was in jeopardy. Soon those of who saw and knew Jesus would be dead. And the danger was real. It could happen that nobody in later years would ever hear the story of Jesus. And then it happened. Bible says what happened. Disciples, the followers were together, still hiding behind closed doors, still only whispering to one another about their faith and hope and the promises of Jesus that they would not be left behind like orphans. Yeah, they said to one another, do you remember what the Master said? Remember that He said when He's gone, we would not be left behind like orphans? What happened with His promise? He said that He would be with us till the end of time. And now we're hiding. Jesus is gone. And that's when the biblical story comes to life. Saying when the feast of Pentecost came, they didn't know it was going to be Pentecost yet. First, a few things had to happen. Number one was they were all together in one place. They sought cautiously each other's company. They found one another, still behind closed doors, but at least they were not alone, cowering somewhere in the night. They got together, still hiding. They were together in one place. And without warning, I guess they were praying. I guess they were singing. I do not know. Maybe somebody was giving a witness. But without warning, says the Bible, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force, and no one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. And then, says the Bible, like a wildfire, think of California, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks. And something happened. Met eens begin hulle te praat in 'n taal wat niemand verstaan nie, buiten 'n paar mense teenwoordig in die kerk vanmôre, soos Kruis en my familie. Huh? What's it? What's this? Ricus, did you follow what I said? He did. Why? Because at last somebody was speaking in his language. Grace understood. Because somebody was speaking in a language. That's what happened. They started speaking in a number of different languages, prompted by the Spirit of God. Put it this way. At that moment, the master organist took over the control over the otherwise useless organ pipes, touched the keys, and the wind began to flow. And the silent organ pipes were silent no more. You know, it was not something that came over the disciples. They were definitely not drunk. It was someone, the living God, that came over them. And their fear dissipated together with the darkness. They became aware Jesus is gone, but through Jesus Christ, God was now dwelling in their hearts, and they would never, never be alone again. You know, it's like the signs that we nowadays see in so many businesses under new management. That's what happened in their lives. They were managed by their fear and their uncertainty and their dark feelings. And somehow, at that moment, the new manager took over. And God's Spirit, they became aware of the mighty rushing wind of God's presence. It can happen this morning, right now, that somebody who knows the story, who grew up with it but never spoke about it, could suddenly become aware of the wind rushing quietly. Say, it's time that I open my mouth. It's time that I speak about the great deeds of God. Have you ever told someone about God? Oh, heavens, no, we hire a minister, it's his job. Wrong, friends. The moment when God touches our lives through God's Spirit, we can be silent no more. There is no way. True inspiration and motivation comes from having someone greater than ourselves instructing us, filling us from the inside out, encouraging us, transforming our lives, prodding us, exhorting us. The followers of Jesus changed because God's mighty wind now flowed in them and produced an orchestrated symphony that would reverberate through the centuries and across the world. The Spirit had come and now dwelt within them. They were oh so excited. They were forever changed. And believe me, the old stories are there. They never changed again. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the power of God's Spirit, filled their lives and became the language of the centuries. In a little while, we're going to sing our own hymn in response to God's Spirit in our lives. I'm going to ask you to sit again because it's a 7 minute and that's why it's still time. We're going to sing Spirit of Gentleness. And I want you to sit down because us older people cannot stand that long. And we want you to sit and be comfortable as we sing about God's Spirit. You call from tomorrow. You break ancient schemes. From the bondage of sorrow, the captives dream dreams. Our women see visions. Our men clear their eyes. With bold new decisions, your people arise. Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free. Spirit, Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness. Wind, wind on the sea. Still speaking, God. Speak to me. And only then can I speak about the greatness of God. Let us pray. Still speaking, God. We now give thanks for the gifts that you have bestowed upon us, your followers, by giving us the Holy Spirit. And just as the Spirit moved Christ's followers throughout the centuries, so we 2,000 years later yearn for your Spirit to excite, to motivate, and to change our lives. Move among us, rekindle our faith, and transform all that is hard and dead within us. Transform it into new life and new commitment to what we believe with all our hearts. And now we celebrate your Spirit, uniting your people everywhere, people of every color, culture, and of every nation. We celebrate the peace of Christ that ties us together, enabling us to be agents of change and reconciliation in our church and in the world. We celebrate the Spirit that moves us to nurture one another, to challenge one another, and to celebrate with one another. Oh God, our prayer today is that the mighty wind of your Spirit would lift all of us to higher visions, to greater dreams, and to a renewed strength to make those visions and dreams a reality in this world. Open us today to the new creation that you seek to bring about within and among us. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.